Perek Dalet. We're still speaking about the Midav Zahirus, of being careful with what you do, both before the fact and after the fact. So, what we've learned recently, in last when we were here, last few weeks, was that every single thing that happens in this world, nothing is overlooked. Everything is midas hadin. That's what this world is all about. The people get what they deserve. Hopefully they deserve good things. And then if you get what you deserve, that's much better than getting it as a present. But because everything has to have balance, you get what you deserve if you don't do what's right either. And nothing is overlooked. Everything is exactly according to the judgment and justice and so on. So now he says the following: the im tomar, im kain, midas haracham, im lama hi omedes, kivan shal kolpen, I tzorich l'daktik, b'did al kol dover. Then where is there a place for mercy? If everything is strict justice and you get exactly what you deserve, where is there a place for mercy? Atshuva, vaday midas harachamim hikiyumo shel olam, shaloh yo'omed zulasa, klal v'klal. If God would deal with us according to the parameters of total justice without any mercy, most people could not exist. Most people can't exist exactly with justice and exactly what they deserve, because most people would not deserve too many good things. The afal pikein ein midas hadin loke. However, rachamim, mercy, is not a total what's the word I'm looking for? Exit. What?
Exemption.
Yeah, it's not the word, but it's okay. We'll use that. Total exemption from departure. That's what I'm looking for. It's not a total departure from din. The way I saw some of the Sfarim say, God has the right to decide what's justice. So he created two kinds of justice. A more strict, inflexible justice, that's really the absolute justice. And then he created a more relative kind of justice, which is more flexible. And that justice has mercy as a buffer. It's not that the mercy is a separate thing and it's not justice. It's just a buffered kind of justice. And I'll explain how that works. V'zeh ki lefi shuras hadin mamish hayoroi shachoti ye'onish miyad tekef lecheto b'li hamtana klal. For instance, one aspect is, even if you get what you deserve, it doesn't necessarily have to happen immediately. But if we're going with strict justice, as soon as you do something wrong, you should be punished. That's what strict justice would be. V'gam sheha'onish atzmu yebechoron af karoi l'misha mamre pia boris bo shemo. Also, the punishment should come with tremendous anger. That's befitting somebody who rebelled against God. So, two things about justice, if they would be totally inflexible and intense, would be that the punishment should come immediately, and it should come in a very severe way. The third thing is that there should be no recourse. You shouldn't have any way of correcting the situation. You did it, finished. Because you think about it, how could a person correct what he did? If he did the sin already, how could you go back and correct it? It's done, finished. Somebody murdered somebody. You can't bring the guy back to life, so how are you going to correct the sin? Harishanoath, person committed adultery. You did the sin. How can you erase it? Eich yuchal atakin adov razeh. Hayuchal ahasar amaisa asim in amatsiyas. Can you erase the action from reality? Omnam. So that would be if Midas Hadin had the very strict, rigid parameters that is absolute justice. Midas harachamim tempers the midas hadin. It doesn't go against it. It's not a departure from din. It's not an abrogation of din. It is a softening, a mitigating of the din. And therefore, the hainu, she yutan zman lachote, the lo yikocheid min haris miyad mishachata. That the Rabban Shalom gives a person time before he brings the punishment. The punishment ultimately is going to come, but it doesn't have to come immediately. And what's that? That gives the time for a person to do tshuva. Or other good things to happen. So one aspect of rachamim, which is not a total departure from din, is that it gives a person time before he gets punished. And also that the punishment is not with a vengeance to destroy the person in this world, but it's softened. Right? It's some other place, I think he explains, I don't remember seeing it over here, but it could be later. He says, for instance, let's say the din is that, let's say in earthly court, the punishment you should get is that a boulder should be thrown at you. Okay, that is the punishment you're supposed to get. So you're going to eventually have that boulder thrown at you. But there's two ways that it can be done. It can be done altogether, and that's pretty painful. Or the boulder can be, crushed into sand particles, and one at a time, the sand particles can be thrown on you. So Midas HaDin is still there. You got the boulder thrown on you, which is what the result is supposed to be. But you got it thrown in such a way that it's not as damaging as it could be had it been thrown on you when it was all together. So that's also an idea of rachamim. It mitigates the din. It doesn't destroy it. It doesn't totally circumvent it, but it mitigates it. V'shat shuva tinosin l'chotin b'chesed gomer sh'teichoshiv akiras harotzen k'akiras ha'maisa. And the third thing of mercy is that you have an opportunity to repent. And really the three things are dependent one on the other. If you'd be punished right away, there couldn't be any time for repentance. You get the punishment. If the punishment when it came would be with a vengeance, then you wouldn't have an ability to do tshuva because the punishment would destroy you. So the fact that the punishment comes later gives you time to do tshuva. And even if you didn't do tshuva until you got the punishment's not going to destroy you. So you still have a chance to do tshuva. So all the mercy is to give the person the ability to correct the situation. It's like a nether. If I made a nether, how do I, get the nether mutter? Right? How do you have hataras nedarim, right? The absolution of vows, right? So it's all based on the fact that you regret making the vow from the very beginning, right? When you want to get hataras nedarim, you have to tell the person, at least one of the members of the Beis Din that's being mata the nether, that you regret making this nether. Not you regret it now, but you regret having ever made it to begin with. And the regret uproots the nether retroactively. Now, if a person made a nether, they're not going to eat cake. They want to go on a diet. They're not going to eat cake. Then they open an American bakery, right, in your place. And you say, well, if I would have known that there's going to be an American-style bakery, right, you're not eating Israeli cake, big deal. But this already, I never would have made the nether to begin with. So that's called charata meikara. It's not that I regret it now. If I would have known this to begin with, I never would have made the nether to begin with. So that, what does that do? It mentally uproots the nether. So the same thing when you can commit a sin and you regret it, so you mentally uproot the sin. I never would have done it to begin with. You mentally uproot the sin. And God does a chesed, and he makes what you think in your mind reality, and the sin is uprooted. That's how it works. So the whole concept of tshuva, according to him, is very similar to how you uproot a nether mentally. is how the tshuva process works. With that, I wanted to explain very simply why we start Yom Kippur with Kol Nidrei. Because the whole Yom Kippur would be involved in doing tshuva. But a person could say, well, how could it possibly work? How can I correct what I did wrong, right? How can I go back in time? So we start with Kol Nidrei, which is Hataras Nedarim. And we tell the person, tell ourselves, look, you can have a nether, and you can obliterate it by just mentally saying that you regret doing it from the beginning. So if it works by a nether, that's how it works, by tshuva too. It's according to the Mesilas Yesharim that the foundation of tshuva is similar to Hataras Nedarim. Makes a lot of sense why we start Yom Kippur with Hataras Nedarim, with what they're called, with Kol Nidrei. And also Rosh Hashanah, we also have Hataras Nedarim, because it's the beginning of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So it's a different understanding of why those things are so. There's other reasons, but according to the Mesilas Yesharim, there's a very simple reason why Hataras Nedarim and Tshuva go together. Right, when a person regrets, he means that he's really upset, and he would have rather that the thing never happened, and he has tremendous pain in his heart. And since he's so upset about the fact that it happened altogether, he's surely not going to do it again. So according to this, the whole idea of tshuva, what is tshuva? You recognize the sin, you regret doing it, and you accept you'll never do it again. So according to the Mesilas Yesharim, the main thing is the regret. And because you regret it, you'll never do it again. You're made in your mind, you're never going to do it again, because if you would do it again, you obviously don't regret it so much. So it's all a function of the regret. And therefore, hinei akiras hadover mirtzona yechoshin lo kakiras haneder umeshaper lo. That's how Hataras Nedarim works. The husha omer akosuv, the sor avonet, the chatosev techupar, sheha avon sor mamish miyamitzius. By having regret and mentally uprooting the sin, God does you a favor and he erases it actually. The nekr b'masha asha mitzvair misnacha masha hoya mafreya. Okay. The zech chesed vadai, it's a tremendous chesed. That's called rachamim. She'eino mishuras hadin. Really, according to strict justice, you shouldn't be able to do this. But God deals with us in a mitigated justice, that if you'll do this, it'll erase the sin. So that's all, now it's justice again. Because now the sin isn't there anymore. And it wasn't erased for nothing, it was erased because you regretted it. Yeah.
When they speak of regret, how long do you regret a sin? You know, like, do you regret it for the rest of your life? How long are you supposed to hold on and regret it?
Okay, so the regret, there's all, first of all different degrees of the regret. And according to the degree, intensity of the regret, that's how much the sin is erased. And also, there's an idea of constantly, if you take a garment that was stained, so if you put stronger detergent, it'll take out more of the stain. Lesser detergent will take out some of the stain, but not all of it. If you keep washing that garment over and over and over again, eventually you're going to get all the stain out. Okay? So there's an idea of constantly regretting, even sins that you did 1 year and you never did them again. There's an inyan to repent on Yom Kippur again. It cleans a little bit more. And even when it'll be perfectly clean, it polishes it, makes it more bright, or whatever. However, there's a condition. And that is, sometimes the regret is negative. Because it's not a regret that's bringing you to stop the sin and to get on with your life or whatever. It's a regret that's tying you to the sin and making you depressed, right? That kind of regret is not what we're talking about. The regret we're talking about is freeing yourself from the sin in a positive way and regretting that you did it in the past and therefore strengthening your commitment to do good in the future. But if the regret is more something that brings you to depression, then it's better not to think about it. You did the tshuva, forget it until you can look back on it and regret it in a positive way.
Isn't part of tshuva be doing kamala too?
Yeah, but those are the mechanics of it. But the vidui is just that you verbalize these things that I regretted or whatever, right? It's not something new. It's putting it into words how you feel. Okay. Yom Kippur time, we explained how all of this works. I'm not going to go into it again. But basically, is the idea. Yeah.
Just a question from the din and the rachamim. In human law, the base din. I mean, if we have the if Hashem sets the precedent, I mean, how much of that is transferred into human? You know, judging another person and court cases.
I hear it. Probably a lot, but, right? There's in the court system also. There's a place, even though ein merachamim b'din, right? Mercy and din don't go together, right? If you don't have the permission to make that mercy, but there are certain things where there are. For instance, I'll give you an example. Okay, let's just say in the Israeli system, or in a secular system, right? First, to give you an example, I'll give you an example in Torah system. The other example is a better example. For instance, a person does something and he's supposed to go 7 years to jail. Okay, but built into the sentence is that if you have good behavior, you can get out 3 years early. So you're not getting out 3 years early because they went against the din. That's a din. The din is 7 years, but only 4 years if you're a good guy. You don't give us any trouble. So the din has in it a certain rachamim, but it's built into the system. Okay. So if it would be strict din, right, we just give it 7 years. But since there's a mitigating rachamim, we're going to add that 3 year good behavior thing, and that becomes part of the din. So it's not, we're not going against the din, we're just making a more less rigid din. Okay. Same thing, for instance, it says that if a person was judged for a capital case, and he was found innocent, and then you find new evidence that would convict him, you don't bring him back. It's called in American law double jeopardy, right? So you don't bring him back and retry him, by most cases, right? Why? That's mercy. Because I know it's mercy, because there's one case where you do bring him back by a mesis. Somebody who tries to get somebody else to be over to Avodah Zarah, there the Torah says you're not allowed to have mercy on that person. So immediately you bring him back, even in that case, because there's no mercy. Strict justice. But this is part of the mercy. It's built into the system.
The double jeopardy in Torah law as well?
Yeah, that's what I'm just telling you. That is. They took it from us. Okay. Okay, I'll call ponim hinehu chesed she'enu machish adin legamrei. So what he's saying is rachamim is not a contradiction to din; it's a mitigation of din. It doesn't contradict din completely. Shariyesh sad litlos bo shetachas haroshen shesratze bechayit va'anoa shenehenem minenu bo atah nechama vatzar. The tshuva that erases the sin both helps, because you now mentally want to go back in time and erase the sin, and also any enjoyment you got from the sin is now compensated for or balanced out by the sorrow you feel because of your regret. So you've canceled out the enjoyment of the sin, and you also regret it, so it's like you didn't do it. V'chein arichus hazman. And the same thing with giving you extra time before the punishment comes. Even if you didn't do tshuva. But God doesn't punish immediately. And then vitron alachet. It's not that God just overlooks the sin. It's there. It's going to have its effect. It's just not going to come immediately. El savlonus sas. God has a little patience. Liftoach lo pesach tikun. That I'll give you some time. And maybe you'll correct the situation before I give you the punishment. There's other things that are chesed that are built into the system. For instance, a son can give merit to his father. So it's not 100% midas hadin, but there's an idea behind it that God built into the system that children can give zechuyos, since the child emanates from the father and has a connection to the father and mother. So what they do has an effect on the father and mother. Or sometimes God said, really, the Rashi says in Sanhedrin that as soon as you sin, you really forfeit your life. You're given your life on condition that you use it properly. If you don't use it properly, you should die. But God said certain sins, I'm not going to have you die. We'll give you malchus. We'll give you lashes. And partial death is like a whole death. So that's also mercy. That what's it called? That you're going to have a partially qualitative death. It's not mamish being killed, but being weakened. So that's also like death. So that's also built into the system, that the did that says your life should be forfeited is not your whole life, but part of your life. All these things are mentioned in the Gemara. They're all kinds of mercy that don't totally negate justice, but mitigate it. It's a chesed. The Rabban Shalom says we'll consider something small to be considered like the big thing. Okay, that is going to be the din. The din will be, you don't have to have the full amount, a portion of amount is enough. They don't go against and totally deny justice. There's a good reason why these things are still considered part of the justice. But if Averis would be overlooked completely, right, or God wouldn't bichlal deal with them, then that would be a total negation of justice. That can't be. But that it could be mitigated, that becomes part of the system. In other words, if the system would be there is no din, then there is no din. But if the system is there is din, but this is what the din is, that's not going against the din, that's just mitigating the din. The im echad min adrochim shezachan lo yimotzi lechot el himole v'adei shemidas hadin lo soshuv reka. Right? And if any one of these possible mitigations wouldn't exist, then what's it called? Then you'll get what you deserve.
I understand that point with that, the Rav was saying that the whole thing, din over here is not something that was contrived. It's something that comes Hashem created the world.
Right. So it's the same God who created the world, right? The Midas HaDin added a idea of rachamim to define what that din is under certain circumstances. It's a definition of din in a more relaxed way. That's still din. But if God created the world Midas HaDin and then he said there's not going to be any din, then that's a total contradiction. Either there's din or there's no din. So if it would be a total abrogation of din, then there's no din. It's not that God created a world of din and then he said there's no din. And that's din. That's absurd.
But the din is not just something that...
God created the world...
arbitrarily.
No, it's not arbitrary. It's not arbitrary. It's the same God. So the same Ribbono Shel Olam who created the parameters of din, created two parameters of din. There's strict din, right? And somebody who can function in that gets that. And then there's more relaxed din. It's still din. But we're going to give you some relaxation in it in order to give you the incentive to better your ways or whatever. That's all. But that's already a modification of din. It's not a contradiction to din.
There's nothing to do with the fact that it's built into the system.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly the same Ribbono Shel Olam who determined what din is by creating the world a certain way, modified that, right, in the actual creation, the Simon creation, right? And he's Meshatef Rachamim, and that became new parameters of din. That's all. It's a modification of the din. It's not a contradiction to din. But if you would say, there's no din, then you can't. Those two things can't exist together. You can't have a world of din where there is no din, but you can have a world of din where din is described, right, with these parameters. That's all.
Are those two dinim by any chance connected to the dina kashi and dina rafia?
Yeah, could be. I didn't want to say those words, but it could be that one is called dina kashia, strict din, and the other one is dina rafia, where there's rachamim also. Yeah, I think. Yeah, I think that those are that's exactly what it is. V'chein omru chazal, marich apei v'gabi dilei. The Rabbanu Shalom has patience, but in the end, you get punished if you don't have any of these mitigating circumstances. You're going to get what you deserve. And if you have the mitigating circumstances, that's part of the process. That's called din. Okay. So the rachamim becomes part of the process of din. Nimsa she'ein la'odem harotzelith koach eino pitui she'yuchol ispatus bovavilti yizor b'maisav tachlis azahiris. And therefore, if a person, wants to be careful with what he does, he doesn't have an excuse that, well, it doesn't make any difference, or whatever. It makes a difference. And that should be an incentive for a person to want to be very careful of what he does, knowing that it's going to make a difference. And he can't say, well, you know, God doesn't really care, and, you know, whatever. No, because God does care. And if there's no mitigating circumstances, you're going to get what you deserve. So the mitigating circumstances are do tshuva. So even if you're, do a sin, there's still something to be careful about doing tshuva or whatever. So even the rachamim is a incentive to be careful with what you do. The dikdek bam, tachlis adiktuk, and therefore a person should be very careful what he does and make sure he does it properly. And if he doesn't do it properly, he should make sure that he corrects the situation and learns not to do the same thing again. Hein kol eila hashkafos sheyashkif aleim ha'odem. These are the hashkafos. These are the ideas that a person should have, right? V'yikne bom midas hazihiris. That's how you acquire the midah of zihiris, of being careful what you do, by thinking about the fact that everything you do has a consequence. And there's no way out of it, right? Unless you do tshuva. So a person should be careful to... And if you do tshuva and you calculate beforehand, I'm going to do the sin and then do tshuva, it doesn't help. So therefore, a person has to be very careful. Vaday in bal nefesh, if a person is a bal nefesh, he's a person who wants to function properly, then this should be enough of an incentive to be kona the midah of zahiris. Okay.